wire, chicken wire, getting sick and tired of a friggin' liar. Pelican with some very soft mangoes, a closet full of skeletons and terry cloth candles.
Wee. All right, we and enjoying yourself, enjoying myself. Toby, are you enjoying yourself yet?
Yeah, well, I'm having an all right time. It was supposed to be the middle of summer today, but I mean, it's Bloomsday as well. This is this big, you know, Irish James Joyce celebration for the day that Ulysses supposedly happened on, but it's been a garbage day outside.
Garbage day, weather-wise.
Yeah, absolutely weather.
Bloomsday itself. Any experience with it?
They do a bit of a march in costumes around town, but no, I mean, I read half of Ulysses.
Okay.
And it was not a fun read. Not particularly pleasurable.
All right. That's not the Odyssey with Homer, right? That's something different.
It's a few thousand years later.
Right. That's not Deep Throat.
I don't think so. I mean, there may have been some sort of similar literary sources, but no.
They drew from the same material.
Yeah, I think so. The School of Hard Knocks.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Unfixed. We're welcome to have you.
Yeah, somehow.
I feel welcome. I feel welcoming.
Yeah, I'm interesting. Interested.
I'm interesting today. So, all right. We got a great show for you. We have a fantastic guest, perhaps our most prolific guest ever. As I was told by my producer Nina, Dublin's most prolific German, Jörg Stegmüller, is here today in the green room right now. Is going to be on the air with us in just a little while. He's the creator of the Dublin Event Guide. It's for free events now. It is it's the premier place to go to find out what to do in the city. Full stop.
And Dublin's premier, most prolific German? I mean, you know, Germans are not low achievers.
No. And yeah, sure. So as Germans go, he's in Nina's opinion, Dublin's most prolific German, which is saying a hell of a lot. Because it's not like saying Dublin's most prolific, I don't know, sanitary worker.
Yeah, no, that's not nearly comparable. We could definitely say he's the shit, you know, or the shice.
King of events, as I've dubbed him. He's the king of events. He's led me on to a number of things. I've been following the newsletter, which is what he sends out. It's an email format, but it's also moved on to apps. He's got the website going. I've been looking at that thing and trying to rescue my boring, lame weekends for some time, and almost always find something worth doing.
Yeah, I think it's directed me down to Temple Bar for some tasty foods and markets a few times.
Yeah, the markets are a big thing. We'll get to all that with Jörg, which I'm really looking forward to. In the meantime, we're just getting geared up here, getting warmed up, getting the ball rolling right now. Toby, what do we have coming up?
So number one, I've been looking into some books, some very old books, and so it's going to be Toby's Chamber of Dark History.
Ooh.
Yeah, we thought we'd come up with a name for it, but
not yet.
Work in progress.
Working title?
Yeah. I think. Maybe.
I can live with it.
Okay, then we have the Southeast Island news update.
Right. Okay. And that's the current news, the breaking news from Southeast Island. We're talking somewhere between Wicklow, Arklow, in that area, British Bay, breaking news from that region, the hotbed of activity.
A hotspot. If you could say there was a center of Ireland, it would be there.
Culturally, you know, geographically.
Spiritually.
Yeah.
Then we have our guest, right. Jörg Stegmüller.
Ooh. And right now they're out in the green room watching the Germany Poland game in the Euro Cup.
Yeah. So, I mean, we might have to drag him in with the main force, but yeah.
Holding it, he'll be clutching a piece of pizza between his jaws, unwillingly dragged into the studio here.
Yeah, with the German flag colors on the pizza. I think there's some olives and there's some cheese.
God damn it. No, just a second too late. I swear Nina is without question slapping her knee, saying, damn it, why didn't I get German colored pizza? Because it ain't.
Well, you know, she's not Dublin's most prolific German, no. So.
I bet if Jörg ordered a pizza, it would have been, you know, black, yellow, and red.
Yeah, I think they know that's his order when he calls up. They recognize his voice.
Right. What else can the listeners look forward to?
Oh, right. So then we've got the famous 90 Seconds with Angela Lorien.
Andrea.
Andrea.
Who you know? Come on.
There's a G here, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll fight you.
Yeah, it's quite possible. Sorry, Angela.
Then also, I see a exciting flashing light from the phone answering machine. Mm-hmm. There's a tape on there, and it's pregnant with a voicemail from Adam's publisher.
Yeah, he left me a voicemail. I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely. And then following that up, we will have the scary news.
Ooh, I'm already getting a little tingly. Don't forget, Toby, this isn't on your bulleted list that I've provided you with, but Pet Sematary, possibly. Perhaps we'll take a little walk to the Pet Sematary. Only time will tell.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's never a guarantee.
We'll have to think about pets we've known and loved.
Of course. So anything else?
Yeah, then we're going to recap or have a look at when we went for a walk.
Okay, right.
Going for a walk.
Yeah, I think there's one more that you're forgetting, and you know Freud would probably say on purpose, possibly. However, it's a shower toxic. Toby.
That's right.
That's when we take a deep dive into the subtleties, the exciting nuances of different shower topics. Today's topic being shower gel alchemy, in which we maybe look at mixing together. When you've got an ends of the bottle,
yeah,
and you throw them together. Like sometimes bizarre chemistry events happen.
Absolutely. Sometimes you can make gold out of it. It's a philosopher's stone.
Yeah. So, of course. Yeah. All right. So that's all coming up in the show today.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm geared up, Toby.
Me too.
Can you do me a crazy favor? Can you take me to some weird, obscure part of history that I wouldn't know about otherwise had you not told me? And that will probably creep me out.
Yeah, okay. I've got something on hand for that. And make me giggle,
and preferably.
So, I know you're a big fan of Jesus Christ Superstar.
I am, in fact.
Yeah, and so I want to sort of take you to a scene which is like, where there's the scene at the temple, and there's, I think,
yes,
it's Caiaphas. He's walking around on the up high, and he's singing in a deep voice. Is that right?
Yes. Oh, gentlemen, you know why we are here.
That's it. That's exactly it. So I want you to get that sort of scene in your head. And really, we're in the same place, but we're about 30 years later. This is in 66 AD. This is the Romans are still in power. And this is a story given to us by a historian called Josephus.
Okay.
Josephus. So what happened is at this point, because of their religious beliefs, the Jews they are being taxed overly heavily. So they're all a bit rowdy, a bit riotous. And let's not say they're in no way a minority at this point. They are the major population center in Jerusalem.
Okay.
And so So what happens is they're a bit rowdy there, and there's these Roman troops. And what one of the troops does is he decides to, and I'll read out the bit from the history. One of the soldiers, raising his robe, stooped in an indecent attitude, so as to turn his backside to the Jews, and made a noise in keeping with his posture. So
okay.
he turned over, mooned the Jews, and then farted at them.
Wow.
This is I fart in your general direction.
Yeah, the origins maybe.
Possibly. And so then a few of these unhappy, rowdy Jews, understandably, pick up a few stones and start throwing them at the Romans.
Okay.
And there, the Caiaphas at the time is called Cumanus.
Gotcha.
You can't make this up. Cumanus.
Uh-huh.
And so he gets a bit upset, and he calls in the extra heavy military, the infantry, to sort of deal with the situation. And all this crowd of collected Jewish people get a bit afraid, and they all start running, and they get running back into the temple, because we were talking about it being at a temple, get crammed into a small space, trampled underfoot. The Romans hoe into them.
Jesus.
And,
this is remarkable.
30,000 people die.
No.
After this. Or this is the historical sources
action-packed.
Always really overestimate these numbers.
Right?
But,
okay.
even if it's several thousand, this is an outrageous riot. And it also started this so-called First Jewish War that led to absolutely cruel, cruel persecution of the Jews. So that maybe was a bit of a down note to end the whole story on,
right.
But I just thought, in the history of farting, this has got to be one of the most deadly farts.
Right. I think maybe the most, no?
Yeah, possibly the most. I mean, I did a little bit more research into farting, but maybe we can hit onto that next time we talk.
No, hold on, just for a moment. Let's just linger for a second, no pun intended. But like you said, you've been on a kind of a fart research kick. Can you just tell me a tiny bit about that candidly, please?
Well, I mean, you know, sort of looking for interesting historical things. And
what are the search terms you find yourself?
Well, I mean, I actually got looking at mooning, because you know that whole thing that they do in Amtrak in America, and there's this one day and this one train line in America where they all these people, like hundreds of people, gather to moon one particular train.
I've not heard of this. This is news to me.
It came up recently in the news, and I was like, oh, there's got to be some more stories about this. There's got to be some more things through history. Mm. When did they invent mooning?
You tell me. Apparently, you might have read a little bit about it.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, this is probably one of the earliest reports. There's also another report about mooning when the Persians fight the Egyptians about 500 years before this.
Right.
But
it was in Braveheart. Remember that?
Yeah, absolutely. Although it would have been the English mooning the Scots.
The other way around.
The English are famous for sort of mooning
it was a kilt. It was an opportunistic kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's like,
absolutely.
Oh, we have a kilt. It's easy. It was an up instead of a down.
Yeah. So I got sort of interested in it, and the mooning stories were fine, but the farting stories were even better. And seemingly historians have absolutely no compunction about talking about farting and mooning. It's somehow it adds to the narrative.
Mm-hmm. So when you retire and you become a kind of amateur, hobby kind of historian, do you think you guys will basically sit around making fart jokes? Is this how you see your golden years?
Yeah.
It's okay to say no, Toby.
No, well, it will definitely be a part of conversation, but I feel like it might be a bit restrictive.
I'll never stop. No, really, like you're committed to this in the long haul.
Yeah, absolutely, and other bodily movements like vomiting, say.
Right, I'm into all of it. I love it. as we kind of nurture this segment, what we're doing, it took on the theme of dark medieval kind of stories.
Yeah.
That was just because that's what you were into at the time. And now you're saying it's kind of turning into more flatulence kind of interest. And it can totally be about Toby's ass release.
I'm important enough to be part of history.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sure, you're making your mark on history now. This is a historical event. We've got an amazing guest. 22,000 subscribers to the Dublin Event Guide here in the studio with us, breaking records. Toby's making fart jokes, or at least talking about people that fart and hundreds, tens of thousands die.
In 1,000 years' time, they will dig up the RAM drives from this this recording, and they will be like, wow.
Yeah, the shocking piece is that we don't even have a solid state, any kind of recording device going right now. It's all magnetic disc.
Oh, I thought we were still using punch cards.
I have the tape rocking the reel-to-reel.
Nice.
Toby, as we've been opening the show just the past couple times, I've been bringing the Southeast Ireland's news source. I'm your hookup. I've been priding myself.
What was that title again? It was the Herald, the Mercury?
Typically, I've been going to the most recent issue, which I have here now, of the Wicklow Times.
The Wicklow Times.
It's been my go-to. And here's the most interesting headline from recent days. Barbed wire booby trap on Willow Grove bike trail, Toby.
Right.
Willow Grove bike trail.
Okay. There's two parts to it. All right.
So a Greystones mountain biker was recently horrified to discover a line of barbed wire that had been strung across a mountain bike trail at neck height on Downs Hill in Willow Grove.
Animals.
Somebody went out there and took some barbed wire, right? Put it across the bike trail at neck height. And so mountain bikers are barreling down this hill. You can do 20, 30 kilometers an hour easily on a mountain bike sometimes.
Yeah, that's...
Full speed, not looking for a string of barbed wire at all.
No, not even... You're barely able to see it at that speed.
So, yeah, this guy reports that he avoided a grisly, potentially mortal wound while cycling the trail and has said that other booby traps such as sticks and lines of rocks have also been placed on the trail in recent weeks. Sticks and lines of rocks. So, right, my head immediately goes to the idea of, is somebody saying we don't like the mountain bikers and we want to discourage them? Is that what's happening? Or is somebody sadistic or potentially, wants, is this kid's thinking this is a really funny prank? So I'll tell you this, right? So when I was around, 12, my friend Tim Weibel, who's now a police officer in the United States, took a cassette tape and we unreeled it. So we had the long, spindly, shiny thing, and we strung it across the street. And this is a dead-end cul-de-sac road. And then we strung it across the street. Car came. We started running, and we hear the horn blaring. So the car saw it, And they were just like, you little, you darned kids, you know? And they laid on their horn, and we were all freaked out and excited, and we ran away.
But so they basically have about the resistance of a piece of tissue paper, right?
Slightly different league here. This is really, I guess, where I'm going here. So you got the, you know, the magnetic tape, or you've got a piece of a steel with little knots of steel sharpened, little, you know, iron bits or whatever they're using there. So effectively, the article goes along to say, like, keep your eyes open. And they actually, apparently there's some near misses. The guy was previously hurt by barbed wire while motocrossing on the trail and was saved from a potentially serious injury by his breastplate. So I just want to point out this article says booby trap and breastplate in the same article, you know?
Wow. Journalism is really reaching some kind
Wicklow
of zenith.
Wicklow Times consistently impresses me with their journalistic capability. So they say to go along trails while mountain biking slowly the whole trail and look for booby traps. This is their advice to you.
People ruining it for everyone.
They're very concerned that such unauthorized activities is taking place in the land, Toby.
It happened to him twice.
I believe it's two different people. One got hit and the other one almost got clotheslined.
So. All right. So the main essence of the story is some bastards strung up this barbed wire and a guy ducked.
Yeah, I think that's effectively that's the takeaway here.
My God.
I think so.
Speechless.
Toby, I'm going to throw you a curveball right now.
Oh, yeah.
I think that we can... I've got
Is that a cricket metaphor?
No, if you know, I'm from the U.S., so it would be a baseball metaphor, if anything. However, we've got a call-in guest right now. We have Andrea Lorien, or Angela Lorien, as she's sometimes known. She's here to do her segment, 90 Seconds with Andrea Lorien. We're just going to squeeze it in. Then after that, we're going to get to our guest, who's got to, you know, he's actually in a bit of a time pinch because he's got to go and work on the event, I tell you.
Oh, right. Okay. So.
So yeah, we're gonna talk to Andrea here.
Yeah, that's great because your friend, she's always quite succinct, and so this will be good.
Yeah, that's generally that's what I find, is that she's nothing if not succinct. So let me just get her on the horn and bring her in. And it's a bit of a technical a reach around, as they say. But here we go. We're going to try to get Andrea on the phone. Give me 3 seconds, and hopefully we can make this work.
So, yeah. All right. So we're here to do, as you and I know, as the audience may or may not know, your 90 seconds with Andrea Lorien, during which you take a topic and you just run with it and give us full board Andrea Lorien for a solid minute and a half. And we bask in it, you know?
I got it. Yeah. It's going
to
be good.
You know the format. The format, this is a throwback to 2007. This is like, we're creeping up on a 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, we really are.
And what have we learned?
Oh, never to get me started.
All right. Okay, so I'm going to play you in with your theme song, and then you just go with it, okay?
Okay.
All right, cool. Today's topic is actually, we've decided it is going to be voting,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, not for whom you vote or whatever, but that can be included, certainly. However, really what we're just talking about is the act of voting, and mm-hmm. then people talking about whether or not they voted.
Yes.
Before and after work, etc., you know, and posting it to Facebook, pictures of their stubs, things like this, yes?
No,
So, yeah, you're anti. All right, so topic is voting, 90 seconds with Andrea Lorien. All right.
All right, so, like, I'm just going to get this out of the way first. I have been extremely civic-minded from a very young age. In second grade, I participated in the 1992 grade school election. Who did I vote for at the time? I believe it was George Bush. Why? Because I liked the name Bush because it sounded like a shrub. He lost. And then in 96, I was like, who am I going to vote for in the school-wide election? I'm like, okay, I'm going to go with Bob Dole. Because, like, Dole Bananas. Did he win? No. Okay, cool. 2000. Who am I voting for this time? Not Bush. He's a loser. So, okay, in this school election, I'm going to go with Gore. Sure, why not? I really don't, you know, really don't care, but I'm going to go with it. He lost as well. You're picking up a pattern here. So, 2004. Hey, it's my first real grown-up election. Who am I going to vote for? What's going to happen? Oh, John Kerry? Nope. So 2008 was a really big election for me because it was the first time that somebody I voted for actually got into office. So hopefully this tradition will continue in 2016, if you know what I mean. Okay, so let's go back to, like, actually voting. So, the primaries in Pennsylvania happened about 2 weeks ago, and there was an annoying trend on my Facebook feed of people who voted before work and then bragged about it. Like, voter number 5 and their cute little voting stub, or voter number 2 with a smiley face and a coffee cup and their, like, I voted sticker. And I just had to be like, yeah, I see you there, voting before work, bragging about your time management skills, because that's what you're really doing. I've got time for psychological romance. No romance, no romance, no romance for me. Mama, come on, baby, tell me what's the word, a word up. Everybody say, when you hear the call, you've got to get it underway.
We thank Andrea Lorien for her contributions. Toby, what did you think about that, that 90 seconds with Andrea Lorien about voting?
She's always sort of exciting, yeah, for she's... things to say.
we like listening to Andrea. We like her contributions. Actually, Toby, she's going to come fairly soon, hopefully, to Dublin and spend some time with us.
Oh, wow. So we can talk to her for 90 seconds then.
Yeah, live as well, you know, because we're typically just, you know, Skyping her in, which is fine.
Yeah.
But, I don't know if... If it really cuts it, does it? Like having a remote guest isn't as good as a live guest, is it?
No, not at all. Which might have just been a fantastic segue.
Yeah, right. Because speaking of which, we have a live guest tonight. Yes. We have you know, the most prolific German in Dublin. We've got Jörg Stegmüller. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And we're gonna get him in here. We are going to have a chat with him about the event guide. I'm really looking forward to the interview. And here we go.
Love me tender, love me sweet, never let me go.
All right. To be fair, I put Jörg on the spot. And I said, Jörg, what song would you like me to play you in with? And he just blurted out Elvis because he was on the spot. So this is not necessarily his theme song. Although it's pretty good. This is soulful.
Love me tender.
That's nice. It actually kind of makes you cry a little bit.
Yeah, it's meaningful.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have Jörg Stegmüller here in... Am I saying your name correctly, Jörg?
Yeah, it's very good.
Close enough for an American?
Very good.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate the praise.
Is that with a U, with the, what is it, umlaut?
Umlaut, exactly. There's an umlaut in the first name and an umlaut in the second name, just to make it complicated.
Because I noticed the German team is pretty umlaut heavy as well. Like
very
4
much
or 5
so.
Umlauts? Yeah. Crazy.
Umlauts are everywhere in Germany.
They are indeed. So yeah, thanks so much, really sincerely, Jörg, for coming in. I emailed you out of nowhere, and you responded. I was so happy to get your response, and I'm really happy to have you in the studio today. I've got a lot of questions for you. We're huge fans of the event guide. So I think I mentioned to you, I ran into you at a Valentine's Day event very, very briefly.
That's right.
This is Temple Bar, long time ago. I don't expect you to remember.
I do remember the event, certainly.
Yes.
It
was an alternative Valentine's Day for those who weren't getting laid.
It wasn't that.
Well, they wanted to get laid, but wait.
No, it wasn't that either.
That's what I was. And that's what I was going for.
Did it have anything to do with getting laid?
No.
It's Valentine's Day. Okay, so what you're saying is kind of it wasn't about sex or love or anything like that. It was
absolutely
a Valentine's Day event.
It was just an event that I did some events at the time, and we chose Valentine's Day because people are not... The people that... Actually, it started with a friend of mine who said, I hate Valentine's Day. And I said, well, we have to turn that around. Because it's not a bad day in itself. You know, you can do something good even if you don't have a partner.
Right.
So that was the original reason. Turn that into...
So it was recapturing Valentine's Day, not retelling the story of Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Right.
So, okay, let's start from the beginning, as I have a tendency to just get into things a little too quickly. So, you run the Dublin Event Guide, which is now called the Dublin Event Guide in parentheses and then in not capitalized for free events. And this is distributed to over 22,000 individuals here in the Dublin area, maybe other places that people still want to kind of keep their finger on a page, a part of their life. Dublin's a very cosmopolitan area. And 22,000 people is nothing to sneeze at. It's been going on for a long time. How did you get started with it? Now, just for the record, the name is now Dublin Event Guide for Free Events because you were threatened to be sued. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a story, and I'll just
cease and desist.
Explain that a little bit. Yeah, I started originally as a. It was an email to 10 friends.
10 friends.
Yeah, I do also. I have a number of other hobbies, and one of them is that I do sound engineering for a gospel choir, and we sang at an event. And when I tell the story now, in the past, it was always people knew about these events, but now a lot of these events have died already. So it was the Dublin City Soul Festival that happened for 8 years
or
so.
Yeah, I think I heard of it, certainly.
Yeah, in Marion Square. Great festival. And we sang with the Dublin with the Gardiner Street Gospel Choir. And I do sound engineer for the Gardiner Street Gospel Choir. So we were there, and it was a great lineup, brilliant weather, but only about 500 people. In the park, and that's not a lot. And then,
yeah,
not enough for an event that sounds as promising as that.
No, and then I was surprised, and I was talking to a number of people, a number of friends who are into music as well. And said, "What's wrong? Why did you not go to it?" And they said, "I had no clue about it. I never heard about it. I didn't know that it was happening. It was a free event, and the organizers didn't have money to advertise in a big way, so they had to just." The hope that people would come. And then I sent a mail the following week to about 10 friends telling them what was happening in Dublin, because it's always nicer if you go somewhere with friends and if you share what is
shared
happening.
Experience.
Yeah, for sure. So there was 510 people when you went the next
day. Yeah, it took another year till the Soul Festival was happening. but it was just one event, and I did that then for a few weeks, and then that was in 2007, so Facebook was still in its infancy. Outside of the US, and so sorry
to cut in, but like, so the ability to kind of like broadcast a message was much, much more limited, and email chains were the norm, kind of thing, whereas like Facebook now we can send an event or a message to 200 500 people with a single click of a mouse for free.
Yeah, that's what MySpace was, the main social media in 2007, I think,
and Bebo in Ireland.
Oh yeah,
Bebo was
big. I had a Bebo page.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I was trying to get laid. True story. But so you're not to jump topics too quickly, but that was 9 years ago, if I understand correctly, because you're celebrating your 9th anniversary the Dublin Event Guide recently. How long ago was the 9th anniversary episode or dispatch or whatever you call it?
Well, I started in June, and then from then, every week since then, for 469 weeks now, and I haven't missed a single week.
Did that line up with our calculations?
468, I think we calculated. So one more than that? I think that's within the margin of error.
Well, he said one more?
Yeah, I think we're within the margin of error.
We multiply 9 by the number of weeks, whereas he's actually counting the amount of episodes. He just sends another one out.
Yeah, so there would be week 0.
Right. So yeah, sure. Yeah, it's a hell of a record.
And I missed a single week.
That's what I'm told. That's what it is. You have not once missed a single episode, which is an issue. What would you call it? I would call it a dispatch, or some people say the term email blast, which I find offensive and corny.
I would call it an email magazine.
An email magazine.
Yeah. Not e-zine, I don't like, because nobody knows how to pronounce it properly.
I do.
So
you just said it correctly. E-zine.
E-zine.
It's because of zine. A zine.
I hear people saying e-zine.
Well, they don't know what a zine is because they're millennials and they don't have any culture.
Are they German or something?
Possibly. Maybe it's the Germans that don't know how to pronounce it.
Weefy. Have you ever heard the term weefy? Speaking of Germans, we're pronouncing things.
So do you not go on holiday? Is that like, what do you do when you're away, say, in... I don't know, France.
Well, I plan the holidays around the event guides, which is weird.
That's
but
commitment
anyway,
is what it is. Yeah. Yeah, it's somewhere between neurotic and committed.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, German maybe.
Yeah, you do something, you do it well. I know a lot about German folks, and I have a great deal of admiration for their fastidious kind of fortitude. What's the term?
I call it persistency.
Persistency.
Yeah. But you could call it stupidity as well.
Bloody-mindedness.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going anywhere near the idea of stupid. I think you provided an incredibly valuable service to people in the Dublin area for 9 years. I hope that you know that. It's turned me on to some things I would never known about otherwise. And it's my go-to. Like, I wake up on a Saturday, nothing going on, maybe, not feeling fantastic from the night before, Saturday morning. I'm like, hey, what the hell are we going to do today? Nothing. Let's stay in bed all day. Okay, cut to Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm feeling better. So
the fear is gone.
Yeah, the fear has subsided. Now, what are we doing with our time? What am I doing? I'm opening the goddamn event guide.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
how it works.
Some freaking flea markets,
and especially yeah. With the new the mobile app.
Yes,
it's quite right, sleek. Yeah. Really, really. It's
a mobile app.
Really, I just checked, Toby. Do you know when Adam signed up for it?
2009?
Nothing creepy about this now. Tell me.
30th of September 2008.
Wow!
Wow! You're an early adopter.
He was. He was number 2,320. So it's now, it's actually 24,000 even, not 22,000.
24,000.
But so it was, he was an early adopter. I would definitely call it that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah?
Thank you.
Or I would call it a loyal subscriber. You know, right. That yeah. sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, either. It depends whether you want money from him or you're trying to get him to give you links to other people. It's, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then Facebook happened and it changed, and it helped me. I had about 4,000 in a Facebook group, and that dropped then because Facebook changed the rules, and then I lost everything.
Well,
and then
unless you pay up, is that right?
Well, no, they discontinued groups, and then they started pages, and then they reintroduced groups again.
Right.
But you couldn't transfer people from groups to pages, so 4,000 people kind of...
So Zuckerberg basically screwed you around.
Yeah, in a way, yeah, yeah. But luckily, and that is really something that now I give some... I do some guest lectures in colleges sometimes about marketing and stuff like that. And I talk about Facebook owning your customer. So it is a bad thing to rely on Facebook. So that's why I use the email list, and why I still use the email list, despite all other ways of getting to people.
Makes sense.
The email list is the main way of delivering the message.
Yeah, it reminds me of that that line, if you're not paying for it, then you're the product being sold.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah.
It's a smart bit of modern wisdom.
Yeah.
So we're looking through the event guide. We've got a few questions lined up here. For example, like just, you know, kind of, it's just, you know, pondering things we wondered as we thought about somebody who's been doing this for a long time. The question I want to ask you the most is, now this is an odd one maybe, but has there ever been an event that you plugged so that you put on the event guide and that you weren't able to attend, and but you heard great feedback or you really wanted to go and it's always kind of stayed with you and haunted you like a regret?
There is lots of events that I can't go to.
Right,
lots of events.
Of course. But is there any one that was really something that very much appealed to you and then you weren't able to go and you're like, I told so many people about it, they got to go, I didn't get to go, and God, you know, damn it, I really wish I would have been able to go to that one. Is there anything...
I like summer festivals. I like summer festivals in the sun. And there has been times when the Saturday I couldn't go to and it was brilliant weather, and then the Sunday I could go and it was flipping raining.
Yeah.
So that's something where you then say, if I only had rescheduled it. Otherwise, there is a lot of events. I don't get that much feedback, interestingly, about the events, because they are kind of, they're happening now, and then... people go to it and they enjoy it, but they don't have necessarily a need to tell me about it because they assume that I know about it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And if you got feedback from all the events, you'd be corresponding half the week,
I
suppose.
Yeah, I already get a lot of mails, but no. So yeah, there's always a few things. But I found also events that I would have never, ever gone to otherwise. And that's something that I recommend to people as well, to just go out of your comfort zone. Try something out that you normally wouldn't go to, because you might find an amazing new... But you might discover something that you would have never, ever tried.
Interest or a hobby or something.
Yeah,
even,
yeah.
You know? Sure.
It sounded a little bit strange, but it was a good few years ago. It was a kind of shaman or something like
shaman.
That? Yeah, shaman. It was kind of a semi-religious thing. And I wrote about it. It was a free event, and I explained what it was, and I got feedback from a woman a few years later, and she said it changed her life because she followed this shaman. She moved to Canada. She was thrilled and happy and everything else. Not him personally, but his teachings. It was kind of
he was fantastic.
He was a Native American, so yeah. It was a shaman in a Native American sense, I should
say.
These
the guys that are on Henry Street.
No,
sell
no.
CDs?
No, no, no,
I'm
no.
Trying to, I'm
well,
trying
that,
to be clever.
Acropolis.com, I think they're in Mines or something.
It was, I don't know, it was called Toltec or something like that.
That's a burrito restaurant.
But the Toltec, this is a Mayan or Aztec.
It's something
Tolteca,
like that.
Yeah, takeaway.
But it's an interesting story because, I don't change people's lives, but if you go to something and you find something that really... gels with you, that really you respond to, then yeah, it can make a difference in your life in a way. You know?
Put them on the right path.
By coincidence, I would never claim well, claim
responsibility,
I don't know, blame or responsibility for it.
Blame, responsibility.
Yeah, yeah. Brackets for free events.
Yeah. Well, I should mention that. Why the for free events? Yeah, you're right. There was another publication that some people know. It was at some point called Dublin Event Guide. Mm-hmm. It then changed. I never knew it when it was called Dublin Event Guide. It changed to The Event Guide. Mm-hmm. It has closed down since December 2008, so it's long, long gone. But they did that as a commercial printed publication. It was brilliant. It was really good. Mm-hmm. But when I sent that the first mail to 10 friends, you know, there was nothing else planned around it. Then I called it Dublin Event Guide because that's what it was for me.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And I didn't know that the other publication many years ago, before that, was called Dublin Event Guide. So then I stuck with the name when I reached more people, and they were not too happy about it.
What, this defunct
The defunct
newsletter.
Publication wasn't too happy about it, yeah.
Bitter.
Now, they hadn't claimed, they hadn't used the name, they had called it The Event Guide, probably in the hope that they would reach other areas, not outside of Dublin.
Expand outside of the country.
But then that's when I added the four free events at the back, and it still stuck with me.
So now that you don't need to legally do it any longer, or even ethically or anything like that, but you just left it because...
I left it.
This is only about free events. You don't talk about anything you have to pay in.
That's correct.
Except for Bloom, which I'll point out, you mentioned, you're like, if it were free, it'd be in the guide. I just want to mention it because it's great. And my wife actually, and I went, we had a blast. That little tree over there you see, I'm pointing to a small... A small spruce sapling was given to me by one of the gentlemen at Bloom. We had a fantastic time.
Nice. I do write about non-free events when people give me tickets for a competition.
I was just about to ask that. Do you get some swag from people asking?
Not me personally, no. But I get competition tickets sometimes, and then they go out in a competition to the members, to the subscribers of the Dublin Event Guide.
How do you run how does one enter a Dublin Event Guide contest, or how does it work?
A competition, you just send an email to Dublin Event Guide at gmail.com where you, and it's described in the newsletter, and with the subject line for the specific competition, and then I do a random number generator and draw.
Okay.
Yeah, well,
do you have a maximum of entrants? Do you have, like, say you take the first 10 and of those 10?
No, everybody.
So I've got 75 people that want to go. Give me a random number, some webpage or whatever.
Exactly. Right. So, for example, Bloom is the most popular competition every year.
It's a hell of an event. I was really, really pleasantly surprised.
It is brilliant. And there's hundreds of people entering the competition. There's other events, and I shall not name them, where I might get one or two entries or even none. So you can
I'm so curious.
This is like our special picnic that we're going to be doing.
The sad thing is you don't really drink alcohol, but if you did, maybe I could keep feeding you whiskeys and then eventually squeeze out of you what are the least popular events.
Well, I mean, that brings you. We had the spiritually enhanced Canadian shaman. Is there anything that you wouldn't?
I think it was onto the
event guide. Are there things you have to decide against?
There is one or two things, and also it has something to do with spiritual things. And I had it in the event guide for a number of. Actually, even number of years, because it was a regular event. It was a kind of a meditation event. But then I got some feedback from people where they said, listen, this seemed dodgy to us.
Yeah.
So
like sort of Scientology.
They want you to sign up. They want you to donate. Yeah, they want you to buy their course or something.
And then I decided to take it out. It still would have a place, but you would have to put so much health warnings in it that it's not really worth it. Because you don't want to provide the wrong type of information. And people do trust the information that I provide to a degree.
The most trusted source for free events in all of Ireland.
Well, you earn that after
burden.
9 years.
There's about 170 to 200 events every week, and you don't find them anywhere else. Free events are not very interesting, you know, to a lot of other publications. There is no money in it. There's no advertiser behind it. There is no tickets that you can sell for it. And another thing, there's no tickets that you can get. You mentioned swag. There is nothing that you can get by writing about it. So people sometimes say, well, you must get loads of tickets to events. I say, yeah, these events are free. I don't need it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, well, maybe just kind of give pieces of paper, like free tickets for free things.
Yeah, why not, right? Sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, with meetup.com, I don't know if you're familiar with meetup.com. I went to a few meetups, quote-unquote meetups, and it turned out to just be an advertisement for some kind of product or a course or a group or something, and they were immediately asking for money. They're like, this one was the free. From here on out, you're going to need to pay.
Yeah.
And I felt that that was kind of a really a strong misuse of the ethos, or I guess what I felt was the spirit of meetup.com, which was people getting together and meeting up, calling me crazy. But is that a big problem for you, people trying to say, oh, this is a free event, and then it's just a pitch for their product or for their group? Or
it happens. It happens. But if the event is free, then you can still get something for free out of it. I go to a lot of marketing and sales and other type of events where I know that the organizers try to sell you something.
Yeah, but that's on the tin, as they say here in Ireland. So, like, you know what you're getting into when you go.
Yeah. If you want to buy, you can buy. If you don't want to buy, you don't have to buy. And there is one thing where I have some hesitations about free events in inverted commas. I make them here with my fingers on radio, and the inverted commas. So, and that is where a suggested donation of, I just got a mail there last week, suggested donation of €10. And then I find that a little bit too much. Suggested donation of €3 or €5, fair enough. But €10, then you expect that people pay for
it,
right?
Threshold is somewhere between €5 and €10.
It's
for
somewhere there, So there's nothing wrong with a suggested donation. And I say to people, please ask for the donation afterwards, not beforehand. Because beforehand, it's not a suggested donation, it's a ticket.
So
if you ask for it afterwards, then people can give as much as they want. Mm. And hey, if it's a good event, please give €15, or more if it's a really good event. But if it's not a good event, then also feel free not to give that much or nothing in the worst case. You know, it's like a tip or something. If it is expected, I know in the States, for example, it's expected as pay, but here it isn't. Mm. And therefore, free should be free. And if you want to give something afterwards, then that's fine. So it's
you're okay with that setup.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah,
right. And I think
it's fair.
You make a point to say, though, I believe that there's, you know, suggested donations or donations are welcome or something in the guide.
Yeah,
whatever you send that
absolutely.
Out. I was looking through the guide lately, and sometimes it turns out that there's a great deal of, say, shows, you know. So I've been in rock bands and punk bands and electro bands, and what we do is, you know, we just go out and play.
Mm.
So to get our message out through the event guide is a great benefit to the band. Do you ever feel overwhelmed by the amount of bands saying, hey, we're playing a gig, and then that, you know, so there's too many bands, not enough, a lot of other stuff? Do you ever feel that way?
No, I think music is a great thing, especially in Ireland. Music as a cultural means or instrument is an amazing thing, and it, and we have a great music culture. And I always appreciate bands that do free events to tell me about it. And I know, and it's totally normal as well, that these bands disappear at some point.
Sure.
Because not because the bands are dying, but because hopefully they will be so successful that they don't have to, and again, have to in inverted commas, have to run free events anymore.
Right.
Because that's the goal of every band, isn't it? To sell your services, to make something. The Riptide Movement is a good example.
Yeah,
they were busking their backside off in Temple Bar, and they did free events and brilliant stuff. And now they can charge a fair amount of money for it. And that's a great thing. And you know, if I can help with that, I'm happy. So I see there's a kind of a matchmaking service.
Right.
Because on one hand, you have performers, let's call it in general, bands and everything else, who run brilliant events, and they need to find an audience. And then there's an appreciative audience who needs to find something to do. So it's a kind of a matchmaking service, and that's really the idea behind it.
I'm changing gears here a little bit, but I was having a look online, and it says on your blog that you teach Krav Maga.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's right.
I don't know much about it. As far as I know, it's the martial arts of kicking people in the nuts. Is there something a bit more to it than that?
It's Israeli, isn't it?
But it is Israeli, but the origin is different one. It's from a much more gritty environment. It was Emil Lichtenfeld who invented it, or who combined different other things. And he was a Jew in Bratislava.
Huh.
And so he trained other Jews so that they could defend themselves against Nazi attacks in the 30s. He then emigrated to Israel, and then it was adopted by the Israeli army. So a lot of people think that was the origin, the Israeli army.
Right.
And then they have sometimes a bit of an issue with it because of the Palestine
Zionism,
etc.
Yeah,
and all these things, and say, oh, it's a terrible thing that you teach something like that, or that something is like that is invented.
Click
but if you look at the whole history, there was something a lot more, should I call it Palestine friendly? Nah, but you know what I mean. You know, sure. Something more oppressive, or defending against the oppressors instead of being the oppression mechanism. If that,
yeah. Well, I mean,
not
it's,
too much too.
It seems they probably could have really benefited from that in 66 AD when the Romans hoed into the.
Yeah. But no, it's not a martial arts. It's a defense system, and the purpose really is to defend yourself and nothing that looks pretty. That's not the purpose.
Right. It's to be effective. It's not to be great. It's not kung fu.
No.
There's no tiger crane.
No, there's no katas, there's no fancy things. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with martial arts, absolutely nothing wrong.
Fighting is not pretty.
No.
It shouldn't be.
And that's the point, you know, when you're in the street, if you ever have seen a fight in the street, there is nothing pretty about it. There's nothing planned or organized about it. It really is dirty and nasty, and then you have to react in a different way, and you can't really bow and do all that stuff.
Yeah, right. Toby, did you have anything else on your a little bit of a deep dive?
I just wanted to ask, really. So this is, you're the event guide guy. So, you know, this coming up, June, July, we've got it's summer. There must be some amazing things coming on. We've got like maybe one or two things that you want to really, really shoot out there for our massive listenership of what, 20, 30 people?
Easily.
Thousand. 20, 30,000 is
the one. Yeah.
There is in the amphitheater in Dublin the Dublin Civic Offices, between the Dublin Civic Offices and the Christchurch, there is a weekly geek thing coming up that's on Thursdays. And that is something that is coming up that will be quite good. There is a lot closer now to today. There's the Bike Fest this weekend, for example. That's in St. Anne's Park and also at the same time. Figure this. And at the same time, there's a Bike Fest event in Phoenix Park, the cargo race. So, but there's every day of the week and every weekend there's big events, and every day of the week there's free events, because 200 events, hell of a lot of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So go to the Dublin Event Guide is the moral to that story.
And for people that listen to the live program today, on Saturday there's the UCD Festival. Brilliant talks and lots of tickets still available.
Okay.
So people should go to that and check it out. On
the UCD Festival. So it's UCD, University College Dublin. That's down Milltown-ish.
In Donnybrook.
Right.
Donnybrook,
okay.
Direction. Yeah. Festival.ucd.ie is the website.
Festival.
And you find
UCD.
All that information.
Festival.ucd.ie. Yes. Nice. Festival.ucd.ie.
I have to mention one more thing. Why?
No, take your time.
Why Elvis, right?
Uh-huh.
I sing in an Elvis tribute band in the backing choir.
You're not going to believe this. Me too.
You too?
No.
I didn't believe it.
So many different elements to you. It's amazing.
There's lots.
You're also an NLP practitioner.
That's right.
Master grade. I understand that as much. I mean, you write the blog Jörg's Ramblings, I believe, which
nobody knows about that.
I've certainly found out about it. So I've read a couple different posts. I think I emailed you that I was interested in the idea that when spring actually begins, the difference changing
right,
the days is something I debate annually.
Yeah.
No one cares but me, and apparently you.
Me too, yeah. So there's a few people in there.
So yeah, we have that going. Toby, is there anything else that you have for our guest here before we escort him out? I think we've got a question coming in from our listener audience.
Oh, right. So while the question's coming in, I noticed I was reading your blog too, and you were sort of talking about that Dublin goes through sort of food crazes, like fast food, junk food, and there was about a year or
this
a year
the,
and a half
the
ago.
Fad versus a trend.
Yeah,
posting,
something
I
like
think.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just
listen. You two must be the ones reading that blog, because this was really there was this idea of venting, where I thought, oh, there's certain things that really get me going,
right.
You know? So I have to vent somewhere. And I there's some editorial parts in the Dublin Event Guide as well, and the This Is Odd section, for example, is one of them. And very often the This Is Odd article then goes on to my Jörg's Ramblings blogs.
Gotcha.
So if you read one, then you know the others. But sometimes there's a few things that are a little bit too ranty to put in the event guides, then they only go in the blog, and vice versa as well. There's not everything going
if
there.
If you find yourself typing and another thing, yeah, maybe that's you're on a roll. We do have a question or two coming in from some of the listeners. The first one being, what's the education you have to get to run an event guide? What do you think, if in your educational career anything has informed how to do what you do?
You have to enjoy events and enjoy telling people about it. Okay. It's really just a passion thing. There's nothing, no education that is needed.
Literacy, I guess.
Well,
literacy,
yeah, but you know, English is not my first language, so that was I guess it has changed a little bit over the years as well, because you get more fluent and more a little bit more, you know, your writing style changes a little bit. But you don't need to be a writer. That's what people sometimes think. Do you have to be a journalist? No, you don't have to. Just talk honestly and from the heart, and then people will get it. Mm. And if they don't get it, well, then it's not there. Then they're not your target audience. So
they can go F themselves, as I would put it. Now, that's not your
words. That
would
go in the rant.
Those are Adam's words.
So Adam's words, yeah.
Then we have one more question. What do you love about Ireland, Jörg? That's from a listener.
I love the cultural multiculturalism that we experience, that we have in Dublin. When I came to Ireland the very, very first time, long, long time ago, it was a very...
When did you come to Ireland?
Well, I stopped counting after 15 years, but my first visit here was... I don't even know anymore, but Dublin has changed so much. Mm. Because at that time, it was still the time when if you saw a black person in the street, then people would turn around.
Right.
And now it is, everything is here, and that is reflected in the events, in the cultural events, but also in everything else that we have, in the food that we have. You were talking about food fads, all these things. So it's not the meat and vegetable anymore, but you get everything now.
I thought you said food farts, because Toby was talking about farting earlier.
No, I heard that, but no.
But that's an idea for a future article.
Yeah, you know, flatulence and
food
and
farts.
I'm told you have to work on the event guide this evening.
That's right.
So you started
evening,
on Thursday.
Every Thursday evening, yeah. And in the meantime, also on a Friday evening, I spent, and it takes a long, long time to write about.
35 hours, you say?
Yeah, up to roughly 35 hours. Yeah, I calculate. I don't add it up every week. That's a waste of time. But I have calculated it a few times, and it's a lot. It's that much time. Yeah.
And, you say it costs €180 a month? Weekly to do the MailChimp email?
€190 I have approximately is cost per month. Only.
A month.
Yeah. So I don't... That's another thing. It's a free publication, mm-hmm. and everybody gets it for free. But I ask people for donations if they can give a donation, because I have... I spend all the time, and then it would be nice to not have to spend my salary. I have a day job as well,
sure.
obviously.
You're willing to work for free, but to have to pay to tell people about cool stuff around Ireland is maybe asking a bit much.
Yeah, there's lots of people that helped, and I have managed to kind of just break even on the donations, and no money goes to myself. It's really just to cover the cost.
You won't profit.
No.
What if you found yourself profiting? What would you do with it, do you think?
Well, it is really... there's very often I'm asked the question, so what's the future for the Dublin Event Guide? Right. Where do you want to bring it? And
just
what do
imagine
you want to
I asked
it?
You that question.
You did, actually. Just a little different words. So... When you think about it, I have to justify somehow the time that I spent on it at some point. So I have to make it profitable, not necessarily for myself, but so that I can pay for all the changes. There's a number of changes needed, for example, because the mobile phone app last week, it broke completely.
Wow, yeah.
So I spent about 6-7 hours on it, and I'm my background is IT, but I'm not a programmer, but try to fix it, and PHP and web design and stuff like that. So
sounds painful.
It is a little bit painful, especially if that is in the time when I should gather the events and write about it. So I would like to be able to get somebody to fix these things instead of having to do it myself, and you need money for that, you know.
I bet with the app, because people are so ungrateful. It's like, the app is making things much easier, but the second it stops working, they're like, fuck, shit you, that's... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interestingly, I don't get any negative negative
not
feedback
ever, not
like
once.
That. No,
hero
no.
of the people.
People don't complain. They do know that this is not a company. This is not a paid service. So they appreciate it, and I'm very appreciative that they appreciate it. Because I couldn't run it as a company. I enjoy my day job, and it's a busy one. I have a telecoms company that I run with a business partner. So that pays my rent and keeps me busy on that side. And then as I alluded to, in, to a degree, I have lots of other hobbies as well.
Yeah,
so you need time for that as well. But no, I managed to every week to issue to send out the Dublin event guide. So you know, like on that side, I can't really improve it much.
No, it's weekly and to the week, 100% efficacy rate.
Yeah.
Don't push yourself too hard. If you get like bedriddenly ill, please just.
Yeah, that's really something. When you think about it, you know, people say normally that sleep is a healthy thing, and I don't sleep on a Thursday.
People say this. But
yeah,
happen.
I know. I don't sleep on a Thursday night because I work through the night to get, because I have during the day I work and then I have to do that in the night. So yeah. So, but it's fun, and www.dublineventguide.com.
Slow down, my friend. So, www.dublineventguide.com. Yeah. They can find you on Facebook, is that true?
That's right, yeah. It's facebook.com/DublinEventGuide.
Sure, so DublineEventGuide.com. Have you ever thought about going for an IE, a .ie?
I also have that, but yeah. I divert to the DublinEventGuide.com.
Okay, just yeah, yeah. Well, that's a fee in and of itself. So send in your pennies, nickels, your quarters. Sorry, this is American money. Send in your 50 cents, your 20 cents, your 10 cents.
Pieces of eight, doubloons, shekels.
I'm going to make a small donation to the event guide this month.
Well, thanks very much.
You'll see that coming through. I was going to present you with a check. It was supposed to be this flowery. But, you know, I was going to get the giant check.
Exactly.
You know, the ones that are like with 2 feet by 5 feet.
We just couldn't fit it in the door. It's like 15 feet across.
It's outside. Yeah. I have a quick question for you. This is going to feel a little, it's going to kind of redirect a tiny bit. But are you somebody who has pets in your life?
We had pets many years ago.
Yeah.
That's your pet cemetery thing,
you've
is it?
Okay, you've done your research. So are you willing, do you know what pet cemetery is, Jörg?
I don't, well...
Pet cemetery is just, we ask the guest to kind of recount a time in which they just describe the pet they had and also how it left us. That's it.
Okay.
Are you willing to give it a swing?
Yes, I will.
Let's go.
Be as good as the other ones.
I don't know why you know or how you know about the other ones, but... which ones do you know about?
The previous one, the...
Killian Meehan of Armored Combat Ireland.
That's right, yeah.
His dog went out fighting. Look, everyone's different. We've been doing this show since 2005. We've had all kinds of different ones, and each one is special in its own individual way. I'm just really happy that you're willing to do it. So let's just jump into it. So here we have Jörg Stiegmüller doing a pet cemetery here on Unfixed.
Many, many years ago, when I lived in Germany, we had always... I grew up on a farm. My parents had a farm. And so we had cats. But they didn't want... My parents didn't really want to have animals because my mom had some bad experiences with animals. And one of the pet cemetery things is she was brought... She came home from school and saw the dog leaving at tied to the van of a traveler who kind of spawned the dog and took them away, and bad story. But she never ever wanted us to have pets. So
don't shy away from that stuff. That's the meat of the topic. So when the travelers did what again? Sorry.
Well, the dog was still alive at that point, but we don't know what they bought the dog for. It wasn't probably for as a pet. But she suffered so much from it that she hated, or she didn't want her children to go through that pain. So we didn't get any pets, even if we wanted to, right? But then my mom was quite seriously ill at some point, and pester power. I was only 8 years of age. We went to hospital and we said, Mom, the neighbor has cats. We want a cat. So she agreed to it because... What can you do? You know, you feel bad already that you're in a hospital and you can't be there with your kids. So she agreed to it. So we got a cat. Susie was her name. And we had her for many, many years. And there were too many babies. And so because they weren't neutered and spayed and all that stuff. So it was a little bit crazy. So we had a lot of kind of, there was a big hole in the garden where, do you have to give more detail?
just any little detail piece you give is like, you know, it's a grape on the vine, so we do like our grapes, but hey, look, you don't need, don't harm yourself, but sure, the more detail the better.
So regularly the hole had to be reopened to put more cats in it because they were taken over. And then I don't know how they disappeared at some point. I think my dad had something to do with it. But I don't even want to think about that. It is a gritty story and not a nice one. But I counted at some point 25 cats. They were all outside, never inside. So
so wait, let me...
Hold on, Toby. All right. So is that it?
That's it, yes. All right. So I'm leaving some gaps, I know, but no, you can
amazing.
Feel them.
It's amazing. Amazing. Mass graves, Toby.
That's it. So we're talking about a mass cat grave. And not just that. They had to be exhumed and moved.
Exhumed
to another mass
cat
grave.
Yeah. Unreal. Yeah. You never know what you're going to get when you're going to dig up, Toby, whenever you do a pet cemetery with a guest.
Absolutely. And also they're like sort of dog pied piper making off with the... This is like medieval shit.
So fun. And just to reiterate, I love animals. I love my cat Maggie. She's the light of my life. I've had cats my entire life, and we love animals. We're not about harming animals or like dismissing it. It's a dark humor way of dealing with this, with a deep grief.
Okay? The moral of that story was spay and neuter your cats.
I think so. Wow. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, Jörg Stegmüller, do you think you're going to watch the rest of the game, or it's probably over, huh?
I think
it's over.
Nearly over.
So, I will bid you adieu. Listen, thank you sincerely so very much. We're Unfixed, on behalf of the show, we're going to give a small donation. We encourage all the listeners to the live show, people that are listening to it in the podcast version, throw a couple quid Jörg's way. He's willing to work for free. For God's sake, don't make him pay to tell you what's cool to do in this city, huh? He's been doing it for 9 years. He's helped you. He's helped me. Let's all help him, huh?
Thanks very much.
All right, no, it's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you so much for your time. Sincerely, you've been a very fascinating interview, fascinating guy, multifaceted person. He can fight. He can program his brain. He can run an event guide to the tune of like really closing in on, you know, a quarter of 100,000 people. It's pretty impressive.
Maths.
All right, we thank you so much for your time, and be safe.
Thank you.
Place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be just so lonely, baby. Well, I'm so lonely.
We are going to dive into the watery world of Shower Talk. We're going to do it right now. All right, hello and welcome to the pilot episode of Shower Talk, where we really get into the nuances of everybody's favorite morning activity, and that's actually washing your body in a stream of hopefully hot water. We like to say here on Shower Talk, the most fun you'll have in a hot box without risking an STI.
And some people even shower in the evenings.
I don't understand those folks, and... I can't relate to them. So.
It's all a bit sort of strange. It's like those people who sort of sit down to wipe their asses.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's everybody but you, as we've talked about.
Look, I'm not sure about this. I need some statistics.
Yeah, okay. Look, we'll get into that. We'll get into that another time in toilet talk. But for right now, we're sticking to shower talk. And today's topic is shower gel alchemy. Okay. So what we're talking about today is whenever you say, like how this actually began, Toby, and I know you know this, but I'm saying it for the benefit of the listening audience here on Shower Talk, the spin-off podcast of Unfixed Unfixed Radio, which you can find at unfixed.filetap.com. This is Shower Talk, the show about talking about showering. And today...
A podcast within a podcast.
A podcast within a podcast, the sister podcast, or the either... I don't know if it's like a tumor that grew and then we cut off and it kind of grew legs.
Yeah, I mean, the edges are strangely shaped, and it's funny colors, and it's got hairs growing out of it.
We love it. And today's topic is actually referred to as we put it, a shower gel alchemy, Toby. Now, the way this segment was, the way this topic was born is that I had two different types of shower gel, right? One was strawberry, which is super sugary sweet in flavor and smell. So it smelled like, I don't know if you have Jolly Ranchers in Europe. Have you ever had a Jolly Rancher?
Yeah, these are Starburst.
No, Starburst is a Starburst. Jolly Rancher is something else.
Okay, fine.
So Jolly Ranchers so our North American listeners will know what I'm talking about, but it has a very distinctive strawberry smell that's so sickly, sugary, sweet, it's almost like painful to smell. So that was the strawberry one, right? Now I had another one, raspberry, and that was a bit more earthy, a bit more kind of like actual raspberry smelling.
They both sound a bit sweet to me.
Nina, the producer of the show, pointed out that it was actually a bit more of a soapy odor, right? So, but I only had about a half inch or as a centimeter and a half or 2 centimeters left in the bottom of the bottle. So I combined them, and in my head, in my mind, in the shower, I'm freaking out going like, so this one is super sweet, and the other one's a bit more earthy and more real. Like, what's going to happen? Is one going to dominate? Is the one going to beat the other one out, or is it going to become this new kind of hybrid monster shower gel?
Frankenstein's shower gel.
Something no one's ever smelled before. And maybe, like, I'm going to get an award. Maybe I'm going to be on TV. Like, all these thoughts are racing through my head. So I pour the two different shower gel bottles together, and it turns out that the really sickly sweet one kind of overwhelmed the other one.
Ah, there wasn't any sort of, like, explosions, bubbles, smoke coming out of it?
No. Nothing worth mentioning.
Ah, so it just mixed.
Crap. It was crap. However, it inspired me to think about shower gels in general, right? And shower gels and the different trials and tribulations, the different things we've gone through. Toby, you know, I'm sure you remember that whenever you first moved into your new place, you used to live here, the place from which we're recording to, the abandoned bar. Now you live in your new place. As a parting gift, as a housewarming gift, I gave you Bilbo's Bath and Shire Gel.
One of simultaneously the best and worst pieces of body cleaning apparatus I've ever received.
Could you just go in real quick? What was the best part and what was the worst part?
Well, the best part was the name. This is the Hobbit themed shower gel and right. Bath and Shire. I actually come from a place in Australia called the Shire, the Sutherland Shire.
Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. Whenever I sort of go back there on the rare occasion and I drive back in, that theme music from Lord of the Rings, you know, the sort of Shire Hobbits music
the theme,
plays
yes,
in my head.
Shire theme.
Yeah.
So Shire gel, right. Now, like, there's so many opportunities for scents there with the Shire gel. Did it smell like pipeweed?
Smelled like fucking garbage.
Can you elaborate on that? What does that really mean? What's garbage?
Well, say you took some of that really sweet shower gel, and then you went to the tip and tipped it in a pile of fermenting, rotting garbage. That's my close approximation to the smell.
So it smelled like rotting refuse.
Yeah. It had a sort of tang of fermentation, and then a sort of plasticky kind of garbage smell
so
about
like,
it.
Yeah,
all
rotting.
Cloaked in sweetness of strawberry and
strawberry.
Yeah, raspberry sugar.
So it was in the floral bouquet range.
Yes.
Okay, so if you want to see this bottle of Shire gel, I'm now setting this out on the Unfixed Twitter feed. So that's at Unfixed Radio. If you're into the shower talk, and we respect that. And so the folks that are only into shower talk, not an Unfixed fan, that's fine. So you just follow us at @shower_talk on Twitter, and that's a really lonely Twitter feed. It could use a few more followers. If you're a fan of Unfixed Radio, yeah, just look. We've now retweeted Bilbo's Bath and Shire gel here. So we actually, Toby, we have a call-in guest, if you can believe it or not. We've got all the way from the snowy, dark, and slash and terribly bright land of Norway. We have Ulla on the phone to talk to us very briefly about shower gel. Ulla, can you hear us?
Yes, hello.
All right, so here on the phone we've got Ulla, a call-in guest. Thank you so much for joining us here on Unfixed, here on Shower Talk, the spin-off podcast from Unfixed.
Thank you very much. Very nice to be here.
We're delighted to have you. Now, do you have any experiences, do you think, that are worth noting? Any kind of, like, trauma or interesting experiences with shower gels or any kind of body washes in your life?
Well, I have, you know, the obvious one where you think you're using a baby shower and it's not, then you get it in your eyes.
So obvious. That's every, like, what is that, once a month?
Yeah, absolutely.
Once a month, I'm like, this is totally baby shampoo.
Yeah,
and then it's in my eyes, and then it's burning like a bee is in my eyeball under the eyelid.
Is this you're washing your eyelashes?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so now, do you sort of you know, really clearly label the non-baby shampoo?
Yeah, with barcodes and everything. So finally, there's some order in my shower.
Right. Well, Norwegians do love order.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
We were just talking about mixing shower gels. Have you ever mixed two different shower products together to come up with some kind of bizarre Frankenstein monsters version of a shower product?
I thought, no, actually not.
Yeah, maybe this is something, just talking to us today here on Shower Talk, maybe that's something that we can inspire you to try to do a little bit of shower gel alchemy yourself and throw some shampoo in with the body wash, maybe a little bit of scrub, throw that in with the conditioner maybe.
Yeah, I've tried,
Nothing works better than a scrub and conditioner mixed together.
The conditioner and shampoo I've tried a couple of times.
Right.
You know, when you're in a hurry, you don't care.
I think before they started sort of marketing, sort of like shower goods to men directly, they just had this one coverall thing that all guys should use, which was the shampoo and conditioner together.
Right. And
it probably dealt with dandruff as well. It was just the all-in-one guys don't give a fuck. And now it's everything. There's like half a dozen things. We're competing with girls for how many pieces of shit we have to put on our bodies.
Yeah, so that what you just referred to, that's Head and Shoulders.
Yeah, Head and Shoulders, Tommy.
Yeah,
the dandruff, anti-dandruff shampoo and conditioner all in one.
They didn't offer to give us any money for this show, so I didn't feel it was worth mentioning the name.
No free plugs here on Shower Talk.
An urban legend told me once that Head and Shoulders is owned by Donald Trump.
Oh, come on. That's uncalled for, Ula. Ula?
Yeah?
No? Bad.
Okay.
Maybe you read Donald Duck. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure I can distinguish them particularly, but
If I thought one segment was for Trump-like kind of repellent or Trump-free, it would probably be Shower Talk. But no. There's a conspiracy that Head and Shoulders, his hair is pretty significant. So, but I think there's rumors that his weave costs $60,000. I don't think he's throwing some kind of off the counter or off the shelf commercial product into that.
I don't think he's spending enough on it.
His tailor costs $60,000.
Yeah.
The whole tailor.
Yeah. I'm so pleased we went in this direction today. And stay on the line. So listen, sorry, Ola, if you could stay with us. I just wanted to point out that recently I went to Aldi and I bought three different kinds of the same brand of shower gel. So we had a green one that was a melon, and then we had a yellow one which was referred to as Sunshine. It's called Sunshine Showers, so a bit of a floral one. And there's a red one that was a grapefruit, okay? So I'm in my bathroom, and I'm mixing them together like a mad scientist. I felt like a 13-year-old kid with his first chemistry set. And then I realized that red, yellow, and green, this is like a stoplight. So maybe I'm actually doing kind of a traffic signal kind of thing. So I wasn't sure if I was doing a NASCAR Formula One. This is all happening all in one crazy shower. And then I realized, these are also warning signals sometimes, right? So you got the green area, it's all fine. So I figured, right, so I'll color code these based on their kind of danger levels, okay? So I took the green one, and that's for the armpits and just arms, thighs, back, chest, okay, on there. And I switched to the yellow one, okay? And then we were going into maybe the more controversial areas, but all up front, if you will, right? So this is for the parts of me that aren't necessarily for public viewing, but aren't.
So what about the red?
The red is for the bad area, as they put it, as one would say. So like any kind of biohazard contaminant, area would be the red one. And I'll tweet a picture of this now. So if you follow us at Unfixed Radio, you can see the Shower Talk retweet of the different kinds of shower gel, and you'll notice that of the red, yellow, and green. The yellow has actually kind of been used up a lot because there's a lot of territory to cover in that area, if you understand.
I kind of like to see, like toothpaste with the different colored stripes in it. Mm-hmm. I kind of like to see some shampoo
this
like that.
This is fantastic idea. This is the kind of stuff we need to be talking about. These are the pressing issues of our time.
Absolutely. Big shower. Listen to this.
Yeah, we're the little guy. We're grassroots. We're coming from. We're coming from a wet box. We want you to listen to us. Future topics that we're going to cover here on Shower Talk. Your new favorite spin-off podcast from Unfixed Radio. We got foreign showers. So going to another country and seeing their bizarre showering crap.
The wonders of the bidet.
We have different shower pressure problems. Toby, I know that you know all about that.
This is something very close to my heart.
It's huge. Power showers, which is something very common here in Europe, which we do not have in the U.S. Power showers versus just hot water tank. hugely controversial.
Hotel baths and showers?
And stealing shower gel, shower, what do you call it, shampoos?
Caps, shower caps.
Oh, shower cap. And shower caps are, yeah.
Here's my pre-secret. Use the shower cap to contain all the other little shower things that you take.
Okay. Oh, right. So it's a bag.
It's a bag.
It's like going to a house, stealing a backpack, and filling it with their jewelry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Effectively. We also have Scrubs, the episode already predetermined to be called I Don't Want No Scrubs. That's coming up. Stay tuned for that on Shower Talk. Ola, thank you so much for being with us here on Shower Talk today. We genuinely appreciate your participation. I wish you a happy, soapy, cleansed, and I wish you will never, never, Ola, run out of hot water.
And may you never get non-eye friendly soap in your
careful
eyes.
Careful with those opera orbs.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you
for talking about the issues that matter. I think is what you meant.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel relieved now. So
okay. All right.
Yeah.
And think about mixing things up maybe, and send us a message on @shower_talk on Twitter about where this conversation took you. If you have other people stop you on the street and say, "Hey, I heard you on Shower Talk, and you've convinced me to mix my my scrub with my hot oil treatment."
A little tip for the next topic. Uh-huh. You know those small shower, these bath balls?
Oh.
You know, for the bathtub, you just put these small, like Granny had them. So you put them in there and they float around, and then you just pop them after a while and they get foamy and everything.
Wow. And then afterwards you have to have a whole nother shower because you're covered in oil.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. Ola, thank you so much. We're going to bid you adieu and we're going to
enjoy the evening.
All right. Thank you so much for participating and being here with us here on Shower Talk, the spin-off podcast from Unfixed. All right, so that was Ola. Thanks him so much for calling in. Check out our Twitter feed at @shower_talk, or just on Unfixed Radio. I've untweeted all the things that are needed to be tweeted. Right now, we're going to get into some older territory, something that's familiar to many of our long term listeners. We're going to get into a voicemail, Toby, as you mentioned earlier.
So exciting!
It is exciting to me. This is my wacky, quirky, nervous publisher has called, and we're working together on a book. And he's called me. I ignored the call. I recorded the voicemail to the PC. I'm gonna play it here for you now because he's a character. He's an interesting guy. We've been doing it since 2005, I think, and looking forward to having the publisher right now. Here,
one day
on
you might even publish that book.
The second one's questionable. Part of me thinks I might be doing it just for the voicemails, but hey, listen. So here is the publisher. This is my nervous in the service, wacky, quirky publisher. I keep his voicemails. I put them on the air for the listeners. And here you go, here on Unfixed. Thanks for listening.
Adam. Well, this is your publisher, Adam. How you doing there? I got your new pages today via several different digital avenues there. And we'll talk about your book. I mean, but first I want to tell you about a miracle that happened to me. Oh, by the way, I'm asleep right now. Did you ever hear about the dolphins there? One half of their brain sleeps so the other can keep alert. Well, I'm like that. You got to keep working on the books. So I want you to imagine me sleeping in the bed there while recording this voicemail, okay? I have a rain machine, and my right eye is open. Doctors have said, wow. So the miracle. I think maybe we should talk about the book first, and then we'll get back to that. Okay. So you sent me some magazine clippings, Adam, hastily notated, I have an envelope here full of pictures from the Economist, Scientific American, serious stuff, Adam. Very, very serious publications. I know the Economist, by the way. We had lunch recently. I have a picture of an upset woman here. And you have a few notes about how to make people feel better, some vague notes. Well, now that's nice. But Adam, I think we're at the point now where we need some specifics here. That's where I assumed that we were at in process. Okay, you just got to get some details there. And then we have some clippings from magazines I've just never heard of before. Yeah. Mayan Regret magazine, Adam? Heroic Niece magazine? Where do you find these? In any case, we need content, Adam. The book is all over the place right now. And I guess my question is, what's it about? You sent me some tweets there. And these were all about predicting future trends, and wow, Adam, that's hot stuff to be able to predict the future and what people are going to be into there in the coming year. You talk about smart mustaches and smart breasts, okay? You talk about gay internets, and these are internets who are attracted to other internets of the same gender. And you mentioned a new human interface device involving licking. And so you lick your device in specific ways to enter text or browse the web. Wow, Adam, that's hot stuff there. That's fascinating. Okay, so I now want to tell you about the miracle there. In the miracle, I was at Starbucks. Okay, and who should walk in? But the prince there, alive again and purple, yeah, and he came up to me and he told me, he whispered in my ear that he had a special mission for me, which was to record his new song, and then he whispered the lyrics in my ear there, and I'm going to tell you what he said, okay? He said, "Your love is like a little death there. You went away," and I said, "Wow." At night, I dreamed about someone who turned out to be you there. And although your fax was perfunctory, I got you on voicemail now, girl. And that's what he told me there in my ear. And so I guess I'm supposed to carry on the tradition of the prince there. And that's my mission. But don't worry, Adam. Because I can still be your publisher, okay? All right, goodbye, Adam.
We do like him.
Branching out there. I have a sort of growing suspicion that he may just be a kind of brain in a jar.
Okay, so you picture he doesn't have a body.
And yeah, he's just getting the inputs from the electromagnetic spectrum.
Yeah, the Matrix in your mind has the publisher at its core, huh?
Yeah, the shitty Matrix, maybe.
The shitty Matrix, featuring the publisher as the only kind of battery. The copper of the thing is actually my book publisher, Toby. My book publisher, who's a real person. You can see a photograph of the guy on the Twitter feed if you would ever sign up for goddamn Twitter.
So not the Colonel Hans Anders of the shitty Matrix.
Not at all.
Okay.
Toby, we've got a lot of show to get through, and we're running a bit long. You know, our interviews tend to be so damned interesting that I just can't tear myself away from the interview guest.
We get caught up.
I'm so interested, and I just want to keep it going. Like, I listen to some other shows and things, and the interviews, they're in and out, and I swear to God, 7-8 minutes. And
it really seems quick. Like, Yeah,
there you go. That's all. Amazing guest. God damn that Pet Cemetery. That's all I'd say, man. My very favorite. And I'll just throw out there that after as we were playing a year out, he mentioned that in the Pet Cemetery actually got a little bit more dark, but he really kind of didn't want to go there. And I hope that he doesn't mind me taking the liberty to go ahead and disclose this. But he said that not only did everything he detailed in the Pet Cemetery segment itself, but that the cat would also have kittens because the cats weren't fixed, and straight into the mass grave.
Into a bag. Into the grave.
Into a bag. Was it plastic? Was it burlap? We don't know. Only time will tell. I made a promise to one Scarlet Nymph that we would use her her going for a walk segment, and I want to. So I'm not doing this only to kind of, you know, do what I said I would do, but
But maybe a bit of surrounding story about going for
sure,
a walk.
Yeah. So we went to I think we went to wrestling. We went to the OTT wrestling event that we as is our wont, we go every now and again.
Surprisingly entertaining.
Yeah, and so we see this drag queen standing over there, and we're like, hey, going for a walk, here's our microphone, here's a drag queen, this is who we're going to go speak to.
Amazing, there's a drag queen here at the wrestling.
At the wrestling thing, we don't understand why. No, I just wanted to throw a quick shout out to Black Magic. So we did an interview with a fellow who called himself Black Magic, and I lost that file, Black Magic, and I told you the name of the show. If there's a chance that you're actually listening, I lost that interview and it broke my heart, man. I'm so serious. I'm so sad about it. So if you see me again, maybe at OTT, maybe we have to get that on tape again.
This is like the running shtick, though. The people whose interviews we never quite got. We had Jason Bourne the previous time, mm-hmm. and this time Black Magic. It's, mm-hmm. Yeah, next time it's going to be Queen Victoria or something.
I still have Bourne's interview. That's in a back pocket.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, but the Black Magic's interview, I really wanted to use it, but I lost the file. I was going through the files and it just wasn't there. So anyway, we went over and we spoke to this drag queen for a short bit, and we were just talking to her, but it was a bit odd in that we're like, hi, so are you guys all, you know, drag queens? And it was one drag queen and two people who definitely weren't. Yeah. And they're like, I know, just the one.
You must really like wrestling. It's a big performance, you know, and that really hit the wrong note.
It wasn't the best. It wasn't the best interview that we'd ever done. Not that we've really done any fantastic ones, but that one was not stellar.
So we circled around.
Yeah, so we went to the Best of the Wrestling event, right? So we found out that there was actually something going on upstairs. So the Tivoli has two floors. And so there's something going on upstairs. We didn't really get our heads wrapped around precisely what was going on.
It's like zero research.
I think the person with whom we were doing the interview with was a bit like, what the hell you guys want? What are you doing? Like, you know, are you sincerely interested? Or are you trying to be cheeky or whatever? Anywho, like, yeah, we had trouble communicating. So we went to the wrestling event, had a good old time. We went to the Tivoli backstage across the street, and then we saw a couple of people hanging out, and we decided to try to grab a couple more snippets of interview. And what we wound up doing was finding a very nice, charming, and very well-informed young woman named Scarlet Nymph. And she's all tied into the burlesque scene here in Ireland. And she was sitting in on, I feel like she was maybe even been judging the Miss Burlesque Ireland semifinals,
the Dublin semis or something like that.
Yeah, that was going on right in front of our, that was going on right above our heads. Let's just get to it. Going for a walk, me and Toby went for a walk, and we met Scarlet Nymph. She told us a little bit about Ireland's burlesque scene, and here is that.
I'm going for a walk, not the after dinner kind. I'm gonna use my hands, and I'm gonna use my mind.
We're here with Toby Hallam.
Hi.
This is Adam Jensen, and we're here with Unfix Radio. We're here with some folks.
Scarlet Nymph.
Scarlet Nymph?
That's right.
All right, so you, what are you guys doing? Is it a beauty contest, or...?
No, it's not a beauty contest. It's a burlesque competition. It's Miss Burlesque Ireland. It is the Irish heat of the Miss Burlesque International.
Is it solo people? So, like, if I want to be a burlesque star, do I come out on my own? Or do I have a team of people? Or
in general, you'll come out on your own. In terms of the neo performances, sometimes they have somebody else come on stage to support their act. To tell the story. Because
dancers, bands,
no.
Brass section.
Just extras. It depends on the act.
So I saw that the winner had amazing orange-dyed eyebrows. Could you tell us about the winning act?
Okay, so there wasn't a winning act today.
Oh, there was someone with a sash. I saw a winner's sash.
So the winners that you, the people that you're talking about who are in the crowns and the sashes, the two in the crowns are last year's winners. And they are amazing performers, incredible performers. They won last year. Tonight was the heat, so it was the semi-final. So five people were selected by a judging panel to go forward to the finals. And in July, they will compete to be Miss Burlesque Ireland, and then the next down is Miss Burlesque Dublin.
Where's the Miss Burlesque Ireland going to be held?
Right across there in the Tivoli.
Oh my God, at the Tivoli. So can we go, Adam? Can we go?
Dude, whatever you want, man. Whatever you want. Have I ever said no to you? Not ever once.
I think we've picked up a lead here.
Do it. I think it's.
We're talking July, is it?
It's in July. I think it's the 20-something. Yeah, it's the 20-something. I think it's the 21st, but it's around then. It's around the third week, the third Saturday in July. It's Saturday evening, around 7 p.m.
So the burlesque scene and the drag scene are separate.
They're separate. I mean, they overlap in some way. So, for example, tonight, Bunny was the host for the night, and she was fucking amazing.
Who hosted?
Bunny O'Hare.
We spoke to her earlier when we didn't understand what the fuck was going on.
In terms of people that like to like dress up and drag, people that like to actually do performance in terms of burlesque performances, pretty different.
Yeah, like I said, we do overlap. For example, there will be burlesque performances in the George. There will be drag performances in the Burlesque and Cabaret Social Club. There'll be drag performances at Dr. Sketchy's, which is the other, which I run. So they do. There's a a Venn diagram. We can draw it up. You can stick it on your website. We'll figure it out.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
That was all right.
I'm going for a walk. What do you think, Toby?
Yeah, I thought we really got to the heart of that.
That was
one.
All right. Yeah, we did a deep dive.
Like drag, burlesque, different.
Yeah, it's funny. There was a portion of that interview that I didn't actually end up using. And Scarlett was like, if you're going to do kind of a piece on burlesque and drag, maybe you should do some research or make sure you're being really sensitive and respectful of communities. I'm like, I'm not doing a piece on anything. We do this thing in which we run up to people with a microphone and say, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, with a solid amount of booze in us.
Yeah, generally speaking. And Toby, it's not that we drink to do this segment. It's just that anytime we're hanging out together, we're generally
drinking. And that's how we find interesting people. It's
sure. Whoever found anything interesting to do completely stone cold sober, you know who? Jörg.
Wow, that's not very fair.
Thousands and thousands of interesting things.
Yeah,
to do.
Ungodly amounts of people.
Sober.
But I do remember something that Frank
ungodly, Sinatra... ungodly sober masses.
But something Frank Sinatra said when accused of being sad because he couldn't enjoy things without being drunk. And he said, "No, I feel sad for you because when you wake up in the morning, that's the best you'll ever feel."
Oh, wow. Be responsible with your substance abuse, kids. Be responsible with your... Drink responsibly, okay? You can have a couple beers during a match, but don't let it become a lifestyle, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so that was our new friend, Scarlett. Scarlett Nymph, and I'd just like to say that she wasn't clear on the dates of the actual burlesque festival. It happens to be the 23rd, so that is the Miss Burlesque Ireland finals on the 23rd in the Tivoli. Check them out on Facebook. Search for Miss Burlesque. That's B-U-R-L-E-S-Q-U-E. Miss Burlesque Ireland on Facebook. They're hot, man. It's a steaming hot event. And you know what? You committed to go.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you'll have to
We're going.
Pay a few shekels to go along and see it. Otherwise, it would be on the Dublin event guide.
Good tie-in. I love it. So, we don't let people get away without being a little baby... freaked out?
Yeah.
Is that safe to say?
Infantilized by terror.
You're right. Completely rendered fetally incapable of doing a damn thing because of the fear that's coursing through their very bodies. And that is because, I think I know our longtime listeners know. Jesus Christ on the cross. What is happening right now?
Some kind of spook house.
Yeah, it's time for a little segment that we like to do, that we like to call...
The Scary News.
Ooh.
Oh, I thought we were going to get that again.
Why would I play it twice?
I don't know, I was really excited by it.
Chav punches paramedic. Chav punches paramedic.
Was he... Is there more to that?
Yes. An 18-year-old has been jailed after he attacked a paramedic who tried to stop him having sex in the back of an ambulance. Kyle Hargreaves and a female friend climbed into the ambulance, which had been parked on the street in Grimsby, England, while the paramedics went inside a home
to get a 92-year-old man who had been suffering chest pains. Hargraves punched the ambulance worker in the face 3 times after he was told to get out of the vehicle while yelling, "What's your problem, mate? We are just trying to have some sex in here." Grimsey Crown Court heard how paramedic Michael Newman was returning to the ambulance on February 15th, carrying a 92-year-old patient, carrying...
in his arms, like the bodyguard.
Precisely. When he and a co-worker found the teenager lying on a stretcher, kissing a girl who was on top of him. Although the pair were not having sex, Hargraves got violent and claimed they were trying to.
They were working up to it.
When he was asked to leave, he then punched Mr. Newman in the face 3 times, all while the paramedic was still holding the pensioner up in a carry chair, a British court heard. The crew pushed a panic button, and police arrived shortly after and arrested Hargraves, who was held down by the chair. Wait, by the paramedics. He was held down by the paramedics. Mr. Newman suffered a black eye, nosebleed, and a cut to his nose. He was also bitten on the hand by the girl Hargraves was with. Cream of the crop. A separate crew then arrived to take the pensioner to the hospital. While Mr. Newman was treated for a black eye, a cut to his nose, and a nosebleed, Hargraves was jailed for a total of 2 years and 8 months.
I'm glad that seems glad stiff.
Bullshit. You punch these guys. The guy was having chest pains. It could have been a heart attack. He comes outside. Some dude's like, "We're trying to have sex, mate." Punches the guy in the face while he's holding an old man who may be dying, and you think that's stiff.
I don't know. Was he stiff? I was working up to something.
I'm sorry. I'm just learning how you work, Toby. It's only our third show together. Fourth. If we count the lost show, which is scary in and of itself. A spokesman for East Midlands Ambulance Service told the Mirror, "This was a disgraceful act, not only to attack an emergency ambulance crew while they were engaged on their duties and were trying to look after a patient, but it was also completely selfish and completely irresponsible because of what they were trying to use the ambulance for." Because that makes it worse.
Well, apparently they've subcontracted the Gestapo for their public.
I just
agents.
Got in the habit of doing this bizarre, like, you know, Austrian accent for basically every character and everything. It's a throwback to Sam, the Honorable Sam Wilson, who I just spoke to about Unfixed. A bit of contention, Toby. He was a bit jealous.
Oh, that's my predecessor.
So he was a little. He's like he maybe wants to throw down, fight.
Oh, wow. Side kickoff.
All right. So we're pushing 140 here. What do you think?
Well, it's been a pretty good show so far.
Hang her up, huh?
Yep.
All right. So it has been an absolute pleasure hanging out with you this evening. Anything to say to us, you can hit us up on the Twitter at Unfixed Radio. Also, check out our spinoff podcast, our little self-actualized autonomous tumor. The shower talk at shower_talk, and yeah.
Before it buds off another podcast, yeah. like a gremlin or something like that.
Yeah, it's good. The next podcast will be called like Shower Gel Alchemy, and then the next one will be called like the varying degrees of warning colors of shower gels.
Yeah, barcodes I've known and loved.
You know what? I do get annoyed when I'm in the shower and there's any form of barcodery. I cannot stand it, not for one moment.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, there's the whole thing. I forgot to bring my smartphone into the bathroom. I need
QR
to
codes, I think you're talking about.
I need to read the back of the shampoo.
And we do aspire to actually have live shower-based interviews. So I want to set up a little remote studio. I've got some good omnidirectional mics. I've got some good boom mics, Toby. I want to put the microphone over the top of the shower wall. To record a bit of maybe some of the thoughts that run through your head, edited down. You know, this is all happening in the future.
Live shower thoughts.
Uh-huh. Actually, please don't use the term shower thoughts. I was making the Twitter account for shower talk, and there's another account called Shower Thoughts, and they think they're hot shit. You know what? They ain't shit.
Yeah, I think they're on fucking Reddit.
Are they?
Yeah, shower thoughts
disgusting.
Is a big thing.
Disgusting.
Ooh. Anyway, don't tune into Reddit. Tune into Unfixed.
I hate Reddit. Thanks for listening. We will see you in about a month.
Very soft mangoes, a closet full of skeletons and terry cloth kangos. Flew the coop before you hit it, let me warn you. She did a cool hula hoop, but don't get any on you. It's all a big scam to make y'all eat pig ham. When he's on the mic, he's like the trigger man. Fig jam, doom, not to be confused with nobody. Especially since the flows he used was so nutty. Never too woozy to go study. Crews got no clues like old cruddy Officer McGillicuddy. Watch your six. He got a lot of more tricks, lyrics, bricks on sticks. Sure got raw nitics. It's a gift. Don't get shot for kicks. With the same slick used to plot sick vics with. Spotted at a chick flick, holding hands. The other one on his swollen glands. A golden chance is why he kept them holes in his pants. Rolling in an old van is what he told his stolen fans. Is that true? True. Match from hat to shoe. Snafu, snatch any brew. The bat's blue. Black Jew, like that's new. Patch me through. No latch attached. Scat shoe. Catch 22. Super. He's loaded dice nice and overpriced. The arm and the leg, all me life, all your ice. Villain, nag a grieving old hag. Snag a bragger, buys Mike Cord and leave him holding the bag. Come clean a bunch of dumb mean cream puffs. A keen drum machine buff who fiends for more queen stuff. Instead of starving, there be problems by the glue guards, alright? Somebody's robbing Lou Dobbs them tonight. And he's on the next flight, moonbound. And makes it a point to stay away from the goon pound. Got some pears that's gone in the lost years. Tears and cheers born in the cross ears.
Hey, Mr. Dunclay, what's that you were saying?
It is the robotic hymn of doom.
Well, I always say, nothing livens up a robotic hymn of doom better than an amazing pair of jugs.